I guess you guys will get here after a while. Good evening.
Good evening, Pastor.
I tell you, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. We're excited about what God is doing here at Shining Light Baptist Church. It was a joy this morning to take the word of God and show this young man how he could be saved. You know, when I think about salvation, the best thing to base it on is the word of God. Amen? And you should be able to recall it. As I was sharing him, you should always be able to go back to a time that you were shown from the Bible how you can be saved. And there's no doubt about it, because God's word is always true. Amen? I want to ask you a question tonight before we get started. How many of you feel like in your life that you're just going through some hard times?
Amen?
Amen. You know, hard times are not easy times. And there's some hard lessons to learn when you're going through some hard times. I hope tonight that the Lord allow us to share some truths with you that will help you when you're going through hard times. And we want to take our Bibles tonight, and let's all stand. And we're going to turn over to one of these characters who I believe always knows what it's like to go through hard times, and he will be a blessing to us tonight. Let's take our Bibles, and we're going to turn over to 1 Peter chapter number 4. Peter is one of those characters that went through a lot of things in his life, but as he's penned down some scriptures to us that we can hold in our hand, but we can hide them in our hearts, and we can always reference back to the truths that can be found in the Word of God. Nobody likes hard times, but we need to know what we need to do and understand when it comes to hard times. Chapter number 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12. We're going to read there, and we're going to cover some things that I hope that the Lord allows to do tonight. Not be prolonged, but not be too brief, but with some clarity that would be a help to you all. I'm excited about the things that God showed me. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 5. He says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God rested upon you, on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as murderers or as thieves or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be to them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and a sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator." Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for your blessings. God, we thank you for the privilege that we have to be in your house tonight. And God, what a blessing it is this morning to see the soul saved, but yet to hear be challenged from the word of God about our worship, that it would be pleasing to you. And I pray that my heart would be empty of self, filled with your spirit. Lord, if there be any sin in my life that would be a hindrance to what you want to do, that I would be able truly to worship tonight from the word of God, to share truths that will be a blessing to your people as we think about the hard times of life and the lessons that we need to learn. And may they come from you, to knowing that you're in full control of everything that goes on in our lives and how you love us. And you loved us so much that you sent your son to die for us. And those that would come to know that truth have an eternal place in heaven forever. And what a blessing it is. But as we come tonight, Lord, we need to be instructed from your word. Speak to us as only you can. God, now I pray, we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We think about hard times, and I was sharing yesterday that nobody wants to go through hard times. And when we go through hard times, there are some things that would work against us if we would allow it to work against us. And that's when we get off track and we get our focus off of God and know that really that God is working in our lives. And there are some lessons that we need to learn tonight. But, you know, I think one of the things that two things that Peter is writing here, Peter is writing to a group of people who were going through some suffering in their lives as Christians. And he wanted them to understand you're going to go through some suffering in your life, or they were going to go through some tribulations, or they were going to go through some things in their lives. And it was because if you're in the will of God, understand that being in the will of God, you're going to go through some trials in your life. And that ought to be true in every Christian life. And maybe they were going through some persecution is what I want to say. But when you think about the persecution that they were going through, it still applies to us when we're going through trials. Because those are some things that we have to do when we're going through trials. We have to trust that the God of heaven knows exactly what he's doing in our Christian life. Amen? Aren't you excited about the fact that I don't have to rely on myself? I can trust God. For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. If you've committed your life to Christ, then God knows exactly what he's doing. Because if you're willing to place your life in his hand, God has got his way of instructing and structuring your life to fit with his plan and not your plan for your life. Sometimes it's hard, and when I think about it every day that I go to work, I get so tired. I tell preachers something. I get so tired of going to work and hearing people complain about this and to complain about that. You know what? I don't want to get caught up in the complaining, because where I'm at, I want to believe that I'm in the center of God's will for my life, and I ought not be complaining about where I am and what God's doing. Amen. You ever get frustrated with life sometimes? You can work hard in your job. Let's think about it this way. You can work hard in your job, and it seems like the person that does the least amount of work is always the one that gets all the credit. You think about sometimes when you spend time, and preacher knows, and Pastor Watson and Pastor Neil know, you spend your life trying to pour your life into somebody else to help them to grow in the Lord, and they turn their back on you. Or when you do all of that, they start to say things about you that are not true. But that was not your intent. You know what? You can be disappointed in the way that people treat you in life, but you can never be disappointed with the way that God structures your life. I am so glad for that tonight when you think about it. And Peter said, when we're going through hard times sometimes, it's hard for us to understand, why are these things happening to me? I'm doing everything that I can as a Christian that I know according to the word of God to live in such a way that when things don't go the way that I think they ought to go, I'm just wondering, why is this happening to me? But you know what is happening? Because you're a child of God. And if there's no sin in your life, you ought to be in the center of God's will. And when we're in the center of God's will, we're going to go through some trials. We're going to go through some tribulations. We're going to go through some things in our lives because God wants to make us what he wants us to be. And when he saved you out of a place called hell. He wants to change your direction. He wants to change your way of thinking. He wants to change the way that you do things because you belong to him now. And I think about it tonight. I think one of the hardest things for us as Christians and one of the hardest lessons for us to learn is that we have to trust God in every situation. And sometimes times can get to be hard. And it seems like it's unfair. But when you're a child of God, it's not unfair. And when you're in the will of God, God has a plan. And God has a purpose. And I have to not let these people that I work with sometimes get you all stirred up, get you off track, get you unfocused. But God wants to bring us back into focus. And when things don't go the way that they ought to, when you invest your time and when people don't treat you the way that you think they ought to. And the idea here is, Peter is writing to a group of people, as I said, because Peter wanted them to understand that when you're in the center of God's will, it may mean that you are in the center of suffering. And does not always mean that you're not where God would have you to be. Peter gives us some exclusive lessons about hard times and hard lessons because they are hard to apply. Think about it tonight. And the first one I want us to consider here tonight when we think about being in the center of God's will and what God has for us. First of all, I want us to talk about, and I hope we get to all four. When we think about Hebrews 12 and verse 8, it says, But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all you are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. So there's that verse tells me that I'm going to go through some chastisement as a Christian because if I'm not, then I may not be his child. But God wants us to understand as his children and as Christians, we should, first of all, I believe one of the hardest lessons for us to understand is that, folks, we need to expect trials. They are going to come. Look at verse number 12. He says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Peter is telling them, don't think it's strange if you go through some chastisement, if you go through some trials, if you go through some mistreatments in your life. Don't think it's strange because if you're in the center of God's will, there's always going to be some challenges that's going to come before you as a Christian because Satan doesn't want you to live for God. And even those around you who look at you every day, they don't want to see you live for God either. But expect trials in your life as a Christian. They went through some persecution, and Peter said, don't think that it should be anything strange. He told them that even in the trials, one of the hardest things, and we're going to look at that tonight, it's hard to live and feel like you exalted in trials. In other words, we ought to rejoice, as he's telling us here, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ. It's hard for us to do that sometimes when we're going through trials. Third thing that we're going to look at tonight is sometimes when we're going through trials, we need to examine our lives and make sure that there isn't some sin in our lives that's causing us to go through the trials that we're going through. So there has to be some examination taking place as well. But not only is there some examination, but there also need to be some entrusting of our lives to God because they belong to him and they're not our own. We're bought with a price. So first of all, let's look at here some things when he's talking about expect trials. In other words, those things are going to happen in our Christian life. And almost every one of us, when we think about the Christian should expect trials, it ought not come as no surprise to you. First of all, I want us to think about the severity of trial. Every one of us goes through something different. None of us go through the same severity of trials. And sometimes they can be some severity to them, and you think it's some hardships. And one of the first problems that most of us are going through in this day and time, we're going through some physical problems. Amen. Preacher be one of the first to give you that. Amen. I looked at those pictures out there and we saw how he used to look before he lost that foot. Amen. He was up there. He was up there dunking. You know, I used to tell young people, I used to go up and I used to, Gregory, I could get so high, I could go up and check the weather. Amen. Look at what time it is. Tell you where it's going to be partly cloudy or where it's going to be fair. And then I would come back down to the ground, Brother Watson. Y'all get that after a while. Amen. But anyhow. But when you think about it, most of us are going through some physical difficulties in our lives. And one of the hardest things for us to do is to understand why God would allow us to go through the physical things that we go through. You know, if we're not careful, we'll walk away from God and we want to blame God. I don't understand why I'm going through some of the physical things that I'm going to. It's amazing as Christians, and when you think about it, as we get older or when we're born, we're actually growing and we're dying at the same time. And as we get older, our bodies are deteriorating right before our eyes as we think that we got it all together when you're at your teenagers and when you're at your youthful years. But you know what? As you get over that hill and start going down, you've been dying the whole time. You don't even know it. And one of the hardest things for us to accept is the physical difficulties that we go through in life. They can be some challenging times, and they can bring some hard times in our lives. And every severity of difficulty or things that we go through as far as trials, all of them are different. Some of us will go through trials where we think about financially. Some of us will go through them physically. Some of us will go through trials spiritually. But you know what? All of them are of different severities, but they are brought in our lives because, again, God is working. And again, let me say this, because he's talking to people that he's saying, if you're in the center of God's will, there's going to be some trials in your life, and you ought to expect them.
That's right.
And don't think it's some strange thing, because it happens to you. And I believe Peter was writing to them because here was a leader, Nero, at that time. He was probably worse than Hitler. And he wanted some of the Christians to understand what you're going through. Look at verse number 13 of chapter number 5. He said, the church that was at Babylon elect together with you, slaughter you, and so doeth Marcus, my son. In other words, they were going through some persecution from Nero because, you know what, he was worse to all the people. He used to take Christians, and they tell me, I was reading the comments, he'd take them and burn them at the stake. In other words, he'd have a party, and he would set people's bodies on fire to be the light of the lamp that they would live by. He would throw them into the arena and with the lions, and they would eat them alive and do all of these things to him for just entertainment. He was just that cruel. But even then, you think about most of us are not going to go through the severity that they are going through, but every one of us are going through some kind of severity when we think about trials. And you may think that what the worst that you're going through is far worse than what anybody else do. And I'm not trying to tell you what you're going through is not hard for you to go through. And I'm not trying to say it's easy, because every one of us are going through something different. Every one of us are having some different difficulty. But there's a severity to these trials that we're going through. But not only did he want us to see the severity of what they were going to, but I think he wants us to notice not only the severity, but notice the sanctity of the purpose of these trials that they were going through. He wants us to understand. Look at the verse again. He says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you, as though some strange thing is happening to you. I believe Peter wanted to say to them that these fiery ordeals that they were going to are for your testing. It is for to test your faith. Let me say this tonight. A faith that has never been tested is a faith that can never be trusted. Amen? And God wants to test your faith. You know what? And it's not for God's benefit. It's for your benefit. God knows exactly where you are. I think about the nation of Israel. When God took them through the wilderness, he could have took them another way. They didn't have to go through the desert. But God took them that way to show them what was in their own heart. And God may take you through what you're going through to show you what's in your own heart. Because most of us are self-centered. We're self-illuminated. We can self all of the self and add self to it, and there you are. Amen? And that's where God has to show us exactly where we are spiritually. And the trials ought to show us. How many of y'all get mad when somebody cuts you off? Yeah. How many of y'all get mad when you ask yourself sometimes, I don't even know why I got mad about that. Not you. I see brother, he got it all together. His wife probably got her elbow all the way in his rib on the opposite side, right? No, just kidding. But you think about it. There are some changes that need to take place in your life. And if you don't know about them, how can you ever change them? Miss Jerry was out there yesterday. We were out visiting, and I just happened to stop and pick Miss Jerry up, and she was visiting, and the lady told me, y'all need to just get out my yard because I'm expecting company, and y'all just be in the way. Miss Jerry said, back in the day, back in the day, I told Miss Jerry, she said, I would have decked her back in the day. I said, when we used to grow up, we used to say it this way, Miss Jerry, I'd have jumped down her throat, tap dance on her liver, and dared her heart to beat. Amen. That's the way we used to say that when I was growing up. Amen. That's it. But Miss Jerry, she was gracious. She said, ma'am, we're not trying to force ourselves on you. We'll go ahead. Amen. But, you know, sometimes we catch ourselves. If we're not careful, we can get into the flesh.
Amen.
And we can get into sin before you know it. And that's why God has to show us where we are. And you know what? It's amazing to me how the Bible continues to repeat itself. And you know why it repeats the same sins and the same ignorance and the same misdoings and the same misbehavior, the same not putting God first, the same not trusting God? It revolves throughout the Bible. You know why? Because we are a people that constantly need to be reminded of where we are and where we're not at. and where God wants us to be. Would you agree with me tonight? Amen. Because that's what needs to happen in our life. Let me share four things. I'm running up here. I'm be like the preacher. Hold on. I'm messing with him. Amen. Think about it. God wants us to know. Here are four things or three things I believe that God wants us to know about ourselves. He wants us to understand the depth of our sin. I think a lot of times I didn't have a chance to share it that young man. I don't think most of us as Christians, I don't think we fully understand the turmoil that this world is in because of sin. Sin that broke the relationship with God, and the sin that'll keep us out of the relationship with God. It is still just as bad today from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Sin has not changed. Sin has plunged this world into its depths. And when you and I are not careful, sin will get a hold of our lives. And we'll ask ourselves, we don't know how we got there, but sin will take us there because sin is one of the most tremendous things that's ever happened in the life of people that live in this world. And we don't understand the depth of it. But also, we don't understand the extent of our self-trust. I believe with all of my heart that most of us, if God wasn't working out his plan in our lives, most of us would be trusting in ourselves to get everything that we need to get done and everything that we want done and not do what God wants us to do.
Right.
Because we trust in ourselves. How many of you ever, we joke about it all the time, how many of you ever get out, buy something, and you get to putting it together and you don't read the instructions? Brother Watson don't ever do that. He's doing pretty good, amen.
Amen.
He's perfect. But most of us are guilty of doing that. We're going to trust ourselves. I can do it, preacher. I don't need nobody to help me. I can do it. And then when you get done, there's parts left over. And you get driving down the road and the engine, you ain't even put the oil in the engine. Or you didn't even tighten the lugs on the lug wrench and you're driving along and there's a tire come past you and you're wondering, where did that tire come from? It comes from your car because you didn't tighten the lug wrenches or the lugs on it, amen, correctly. Or wrenched off one of them and the whole tire comes off of it. But it's just like us to self-trust ourselves. And God has to show us that. And you know, and that's one of the hardest lessons for us to learn is to not trust in ourselves. Would you agree with me tonight? We want to trust ourselves. Amen. I can do it. And I'm getting older now, realizing I can't do it. Now my arm won't go up as high because I'm realizing you can't do it no more. Amen. So we see, we realize the depth of our sin, but the shallowness of our joy is not really the joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. And my joy, the world does not know the joy that you can have in Christ. And it's self-joy. I think about that young man. I'm not trying to pick on him. But if you don't know Christ, the Bible says that he that have the Son have life, and he that have not the Son have not life. And if you don't have the eternal life that's in Jesus Christ, really, folks, you don't have the joy that the Bible is talking about. And if you're not living according to God's will, even as a Christian, and you're not in the center of God's will for your life, you really don't have the joy that God says that's unspeakable and full of glory. You really don't have it. You may think you have it, but really you don't have it. Not the way that God intended for it to be that you would have. I tell you, one of the greatest joy in life is to be doing what God would have you to do. I know this preacher had the hardest time sitting on the couch with his foot up in the air, nobody home, the rats and the cats and the dogs and the birds and all of these things, he here, and he can't be in the house of God because he loves preaching the word of God. Could you imagine the turmoil that he's going through? And really the joy that fills his soul is to preach the word of God. And the joy that ought to fill our soul is that we can be recipients of it. Amen. And that we can be in the house of God. There's many places that we could be, but we can come, as he's talking about worship, we can come to the house of God and worship God. What a joy it is. There's many people today can't sit under good preaching. It's fabricated. It's washed down, watered down, trumped down, stepped down, 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 down. Y'all get that after a while. Amen. We got it. But that's what happens. So those are the things that it's a hard lesson, but we need to understand that it's one of the hardest things is that we need to expect trials because God is working. And if you are a Christian, your faith must be tested and refined. Wow. That's exactly what needs to happen. So we see the sanctity or the purpose of trials. But notice also sometimes our faith needs to be tested so that it can be trusted. But notice not only does Peter show them here, not only did we see the severity and the sanctity of trials, but notice the surprise of the source of their trials. And we have to go back here to the beginning of this chapter here and look at chapter 1 Peter chapter 4 and look at verse number 4. He's talking about here, let's look at verse number 3. He says, For the time past of our life were suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, and an abominable idolatry, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of writing, speaking evil of you. In other words, the source of their frustration or the source of the trials that they were facing or the source of the persecution that they were going through was from those that used to be their friends. How many when you got saved that your friends or the people you used to hang out with was all excited about the salvation that you have? They look at you and say, there's something wrong with you. Greg done got religious. Pastor, they don't call me Pastor White. They said Reverend. One of the girls that where you call me Reverend. Reverend don't do stuff like that. I said, you're right. Reverend don't do stuff like that. But one of the greatest sources that I've learned in my Christian life that's going to be against you and bring you frustration and is going to bring some trials is the source of those that you used to hang out with. Amen. And they're going to try to ridicule you. They're going to try to convince you that it's okay. I didn't get to share this with y'all young people this morning, but I think about what I was wanting to say because I didn't get to say all I want to say. So can I say it now, Terrell? It's okay. All right. So they tell you it's okay that you don't drink, but come on and go to the club with us. You ain't got to drink. But I tell you this, anybody as a Christian ain't got no business walking in there. But even the unsaved, if they came in there and you sitting at the table, you in a nightclub, and that jar, that bottle that's sitting in front of you, or even that glass is brown, nobody know that it's Pepsi Cola or Coca-Cola. Amen? But that's what it could be. And they tell you, it's okay, you ain't got to drink, but just come hang out with us. You ain't really got to watch the movie, but we're going to go and do that. But, you know, and before young people, before long, we talk about you become cloudy in your thinking. They want you to think that it's okay to do those things. And before you know it, you're in a sinful condition. Amen. You're in a sinful situation. And the source here of those that were persecuting them were those they used to hang out with. You know, those people that you used to hang out with, they don't like you now as a Christian. Because you think you better than I am because you don't go hang out at the club with me no more. You don't cuss and you don't swear and you don't do the things that we used to do. You used to enjoy those things. But you know what? As a Christian, you ought not enjoy those things. It ought to make you sick, sour to your stomach. Amen. Of some of the things that you used to do that you ought not do anymore. But that's where the first source is going to come from. I remember when I got saved and I was telling my parents, y'all done went over there in Germany, Spain, And you done got in there, or they say we was in Germany, y'all done went over there, you and Teresa, y'all done gone over there and got into some kind of cult over there. That's what they thought we were doing. And not only if it don't come from the old friends, it's going to come from your family. There's got to be something wrong with you if you don't want to get out there and do what preacher called him, tell me, what is that word you use? I wanted to use it tonight. When he's out there gyrating. Oh, yeah. He up there gyrating. I said, preacher, you better slow down before you be done gyrating something out of whack. But anyhow, but because you don't get out there on the floor and boogie with them. I remember when the first time, I tell you what, folks, I hope y'all enjoying the message. Amen. Hey, man, I'm just having a good time. Yeah. Amen. I remember when Teresa and I first got saved, and we go home to our family reunion, and they get to throwing on those old songs, and we sitting in there. I said, oh, God, I don't need to hear that. Whew, I need to get up out of here. Brother, I ain't like you. I ain't strong. I got to get up out of there. When the Otis Reddings and the Four Tops and Brother Neil, you know about all, they start to plan. We got to get up and go. And then we see those in my family call themselves Christians. They out there just cutting loose. And they look at Teresa and I said, there's something wrong with y'all. It's okay. It's okay to get out there and dance. It's okay to have a few drinks with us. It's okay to go with us after this is over, out and do all. No, it's not. And the source of their frustration and the source that was going through the persecuting was they were persecuting them was the friends and family. Because they ain't gonna always agree with your Christianity. That's right. They don't understand that the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a what? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are to become what? Yeah. Become new. So that's one of the hardest lessons for us to learn is the severity, the source, the sanctity. Why am I going through this? God, we're questioning the Lord. God, why am I going through these things? But Peter said, don't think it's strange that you're going through these things. Because as a Christian, you're going to go through these things. And the world, you know what? The Bible teaches us, it's just like Jesus was saying, that they don't, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. And those same people that the Christians there that Peter's writing to used to hang out, Jesus warns us in John chapter 15 and verse 18, and it says this, if the world hate you, you know that it hate me before it hated you. And if you were of the world, listen, the world would love you. If you were still living like the world, guess what? They love you. I don't see anything any different in you, Miss Hall. I don't see anything different in you, Teresa. I don't see anything different in you, Natasha. They still love you because you still act just like they do. And when they don't, you might be on track. Amen. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore, the world hates you because you are a Christian. And I pray tonight that you are in the center of God's will. That was a persecution that they were going through. But Jesus told his disciples that they would be persecuted even by the religious leaders. We could go to Mark chapter 13 and verse 9. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to the council and in the synagogues, and ye shall be beaten for my sake, and ye shall be brought before the rulers and kings for my sake, for the testimony is against them. He's telling them that even the religious leaders are going to have some problems with you. They don't want to see you acting like a Christian. There's something wrong with you if you act like a Christian. You Christians believe that Bible. Y'all believed in that Jesus. And you don't hear people say it all the time. How can one man do all of that for you? You know what? He can do that for us because he's God. Jesus is God. And that's why he could do what he has done for us. And because they don't believe it, don't make it true. But it don't change the fact, folks, it's still true. Amen. So as a Christian, we should not be surprised, is what Peter is saying, by trials. We should expect them. That is the first and the hardest lesson for us to understand, that even sometimes as Christians, and I pray that we are, each one of us, it ought to be our desire is to be in the will of God, in the perfect will of God. And so when trials come, we ought to expect them because they are going to happen. And you're going to be persecuted for you trying to do what's right and live for God. And you ought to consider the privilege that people would look at you and call you Reverend or that Christian. Amen. So expect them. The second thing we look at here tonight, and I know we're not pressed, but we're running out of time. We're going to look at one more of these things here. As Christians, we should be exalted in trials. In other words, we ought to exalt. And there is another one of the hardest lessons that we ought to be exalted. Or in other words, we ought to be rejoicing in trials when we go through trials. Enduring trials is one thing, but exalting in them is something else. In fact, it's humanly impossible. And the only way that we can be rejoicing, as Peter is writing about here, And even about when James is writing about rejoicing in trials, the only way that we can do it is because of the supernatural power of the God of heaven that lives within us. We can rejoice even in trials. Let me say this tonight. Most of us are not going to rejoice in the trials. But we ought to rejoice in the fact we understand what the trial is for. Amen. I want to do something tonight. Gregory, Terrell, and Joshua, come up here for just a minute. And I want to use this illustration tonight because most of it, this is nothing new. But I want to show it tonight because I believe, as we said, this is the tall guy here. We'll put you up. We'll do by height. Because Gregory wants to be where Terrell can protect the rim. He's going to do the three-point shooting. Joshua is the defensive guy. No, just kidding. You know? All right? So I want you to think about trials that we go through. First of all, we're either going to be what? In a trial. Amen? We're either going to be coming. No, we're going to be going in a trial because we're not in one right now. And as we get in the trial, we're going to be going through the trial. And then as we go through the trial, we're going to come what? Out of the trial. And don't sometimes in life it seems like they never go away? All three of them are working heavily. And what I'm saying tonight, I may not rejoice in the fact that I'm going into one, because none of us want to go through hard times. None of us want to be persecuted. None of us want to feel like that we ain't got it all together. But you know what? If you think you got it all together, then you don't need Jesus. And we certainly need him. Amen. And I may not like it when I'm going into it. I may not know I ain't going to probably like it while I'm in it. Amen. And I'm surely looking forward to getting out of it. But you know what I was sharing with Miss Natasha and Kat yesterday? Sometimes it takes us to be able to get through some things, and then we look back, and it may till we get out of them that we begin to understand what we went through going through them. And this is where the rejoicing comes, because it may take me going through some trials or through something for me to understand the benefit of it, and I can rejoice. And as I go through these trials and as they come the next time, hopefully that I would, as James said, consider it what? Count it all what? All joy. When you go through diverse what? Temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. And let patience have her what? Perfect work, that you may be in what? Entire what? Wanting nothing. What? It's going to take some patience. And most of us, we're glad to get to the end. We certainly don't want to go into it. And we have some hard times when we're in it. And sometimes when we get in it, we want to turn away from God. You stay there. You ain't come yet. Okay? Let's turn this way. You want to turn away from God. Because we don't understand why we're going through what we're going through. Most of us like to feel like that as a Christian, we got it all together. But really, we don't. Aren't you glad that you don't? Because again, if you had it all together, then that would be kind of prideful. Look at what I've done. And what I'm saying tonight, folks, we can't rejoice sometimes while we're in it, but we ought to rejoice in the fact that God knows what he's doing. He knows exactly where you need to be. You didn't know that you need to understand the importance of your relationship with God. But he does. See, God is a jealous God. And what happens is we begin to be prideful because we think we got it all together. I don't really need God. And you may not say it, but you live in such a way that's what you're saying. And that's what you say to God. Because God knows your what? God knows your heart. And we can get to be prideful, but God has to keep us humble, so that we can be dependent upon him. And I don't like going in them. I don't like being in them. And I'm surely looking forward sometimes to getting out of them. But we got to be patient, because God is doing a work. And most of us don't like patience. Amen? We live in a ready-made world. My wife is showing me, brother, how to use a microwave, and I've been using a microwave for years. And she said, honey, you don't put it on like the regular settings. Sometimes you have to turn it on to defrost. Sometimes you have to turn it on to preheat. I just put it in there and blast it for 2 minutes, let it burn or whatever. I'm ready to eat. We're not a patient people. We want the results like right now. Amen? But God wants us to be patient. So let patience have her perfect work. And James is talking about it in a way that as we experience things, we realize more and more how we need God. How he's kept me from doing some of the most foolish things. You ever been driving down the road and you realize that you could have gotten in a car accident? I ride a motorcycle every day. And I tell you what, sometimes I have to slow my roll. Because it's easy to somebody just wipe you out. Amen? They say, why are you riding? I like riding. Why you drive your car? You can get in the same accident. I ain't gonna go there, amen. Well, anyhow. But you have to be patient, and you always got to drive defensively. And sometimes it's hard for us to do that. But when God is working and taking us through the trials, we don't rejoice because I'm sure Job wasn't rejoicing when Job was going through what Job was going through. Before he could get told about one incident, there was another one coming. Isn't life like that sometimes? But Job rejoiced, and here's what he says, because that's evidence of him rejoicing in God. He says, I brought nothing into this world, and it's sure that I do what? Take nothing out of this world. Job wasn't attached to the things of this world, because he realized he didn't bring anything in it. And you know what? And really think about it. You can't take nothing out of it. But lost souls, your soul, if you're here tonight without Christ, you need to get saved. Amen. And those that are here without Christ, you need to get saved. And those of us need to be witnesses telling people about Christ. You can take them with you. Because they need to see Christ in you, even when you're going through hard times. Amen. If that's the way you act as a Christian, I don't think I want too much of your Christianity. Y'all getting tired? Okay, you out of this trial. Okay, you come out of it. You still in it, so you got to stay. No, just kidding. You can go. You just beginning to start trouble. No, come on, you can go too. But sometimes we don't understand and we don't rejoice in it, but we ought to rejoice because of it. Amen? Because God knows exactly what he's doing. And sometimes when God works things his way, and most evidently, it's not our way. And sometimes I tell people all the time, life's experiences is the best teacher. Because so were some of us. And the same people that were giving these Christians a hard time were the ones that they came out from among. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And ye should be my children, I shall be your father. And we ought to be different. And when we go through trials, one of the hardest things for us to understand that we need to expect them. And we may not rejoice in them, but we ought to rejoice because of them. And to realize we go through what we're going through, because if I'm in the center of God's will for my life, he tells me that I need to expect it. Because they're going to come. They're going to happen. And I'm thankful that I'm his child. I don't always understand, but I can rejoice. I tell you, one of the hardest things for me when I thought about it years ago, but as I look at it and I look back on it, I rejoice. Somebody asked me when I was at home, and I'm gonna close with this, and most of y'all probably didn't know, some of you do, was I went home and I remember when my dad passed away when I was at home. And people wanted to know while I was there, how in the world are you gonna preach your dad's funeral? But you know what? Believe it or not, I had already expected one day that I would get to do that. But the greatest joy, even in the sadness of the loss, was the greatest joy that I had. I didn't understand why God would take my dad. But it gave me joy to know that he didn't take him. He just went to glory before I get there. See, that's the joy that you can have because of who God is. And you may not understand why you're going through when you're going through it, but when you understand that God is in control, the joy that was set before Jesus when he endured the cross, he knew that he was going to be at the right hand of God and he was going to be the savior of your soul. And that gave him the greatest accomplishment. They gave him the greatest joy that I know that my dad was saved because I led him to the Lord. And it brought even greater joy because I got a chance to preach the gospel and share as Tony said, it's the simplicity of the gospel at a church that I grew up in. And I had never, Brother Watson, never, ever hear somebody present the gospel to where I understood it. And people got saved because of that. And I'm not bragging on me because I can't save nobody. But God can.
Amen. Yes, he can.
And what he takes you through, he has a plan for it. And the joy of seeing souls get saved. And one of the girls that I grew up with that lived across, when we can't say across the street, she lived across the road back up in the woods from me.
Amen.
Said, Kenny, we ain't never hear no preaching like that. We don't get that kind of preaching. Boy, that was something else. But it was just the simple. If y'all asked me to rehearse it, I probably couldn't remember any part of it. But that ain't even the point. But my point is tonight that you may not always understand what you're going through in the Christian life. But God has a plan. God has a purpose. And you may not understand it and can't rejoice in it until you've been through it and you look back and you see what God did and you give him all the praise and the honor and the glory, and you can rejoice in what he's done. And you can count it all joy. And you have to be patient with God because you know what? He's patient with you. And allow the trials and the testing to accomplish that which you need accomplished in your life, and that you may be mature. And the maturing of a Christian is what's going to help you get through what you're going to go through. And maybe one right after the other, but God knows exactly where your breaking point is. He knows how to bend you without breaking you. He knows how to love you when you're unloving. God knows how to comfort you when you need comfort. God knows how to be there for you when you need somebody to be there for you. I think about Paul said, you know, he said it in scripture, though everyone turned against me, the Lord was with me. The Lord was with me because God wants to be there for you. And it's some of the hardest lessons is for us to learn in life is that we're going to go through trials, but we ought to rejoice in them because God is allowing that to happen in our lives. We'll look at the other ones in another night. Amen.
Amen.
Heads bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. Keep rejoicing with exaltation, exaltation, exaltation. You are blessed. He brings these reasons why we can have them. We'll look at those next time. Father, thank you again for tonight. God, how we thank you for the blessings of Scripture and the Word of God and the truths that we can find in it. Lord, we thank you tonight that Peter learned some valuable lessons that he would share with those whom he's writing to. And we thank you tonight, Lord, that the Scriptures are written for our admonition and for our comfort and for our benefit. And tonight you show us that we can still rejoice. And I pray that each one of us can learn that we are partakers of Christ's suffering and realize that he went through more than we ever will. And he did it because he loved us. And we ought to be patient and willing to count it all joy because of what he's done for us. And what we go through can never amount to what he went through for you and I. He took the sins upon the world, the entire world upon him and died on the cross for your sin and for mine. God, speak to our hearts tonight. We may not always understand why we go through what we're going through. And if we had our way, we probably wouldn't go through what we go through. But you know exactly what we need to get us to where you want us to be. Bless now, I pray, and work in this invitation time. Father, I pray if there be someone here tonight that does not know Christ the Savior, God, I pray that this would be the night that they would come to know you as that Savior because of what you've done. Because they can never have what we talked about tonight and the understanding to go through what life brings until they put their faith and trust in you. Maybe there's someone here tonight that's without a church home. As we open the doors tonight, that you can join the church of like faith and you want to join. I can't think of any better place that you could be. But maybe you're here tonight and God has just spoken in your heart about something that you need to do. And when we ask our pianists to begin to play, let's all stand at our feet and may God work in the hearts and lives of your people tonight according to your will and according to your way. We're going to ask Natasha to play a hymn of invitation. And I'm going to ask our pastor to come and he can close the service.